Welcome to Regardless. This podcast is the go-to hub for 20-something women navigating life's toughest chapters. I know it's not easy right now, and I want you to know that you're not alone, that you can come here to remember that you can keep going, and regardless of what shows up, you've got this.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Try online therapy today at betterhelp.com/regardless. Family means everything to me, you guys. And that's why I love the holidays, not just for the gifts, but for the cozy moments spent with my mom, my dad, and my younger brother. It's really all about cooking together, catching up, and just connecting. For me, you guys know, growing up with a mom who's a therapist and a dad who is an executive team coach, I've always had this emotional SWAT team built in whenever I needed it. And I know the holidays can bring up a lot of emotions. I was just on the phone with my mom for 2 hours, using her as a soundboard to help me navigate a challenging situation. So whether it's about relationships, family, cuffing season, and feeling lonely, or just preparing for the new year, regardless of what you're going through, it's so important to have a built-in support system throughout your 20s. And this is where therapy comes in. And I know not everyone has a therapist mom, and that's why I love BetterHelp. It connects you with licensed therapists online through text, phone, or video calls, all on your schedule. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should absolutely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and all on your schedule. Just fill a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find comfort this December, my love, with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/regardless today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/regardless. You've got this, babe.
I am so excited. I am in New York today, literally living my fall dream. I didn't realize how much I actually miss the city. Today, I am joined by Miss Faith Montoya. She is a flipping powerhouse. Faith is a fashion content creator with millions over TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, and she's really challenging beauty standards and taking the charge with empowering plus-size women to embrace their beauty and authenticity regardless. And her work has been featured in Forbes. She is an ambassador to NAMI, which is the National Association of Mental Illness. Faith, you are killing the game, and I am so honored to just sit here with you today.
Thank you for having me. Oh my gosh, you were so good at that. I was like, oh, off the dome?
Oh my God. It's so funny. I feel like my like interviewing skills, my chops, like I've been able to practice them on regardless, but I'm like, literally, I love introducing people. Like if I could be your hype woman, like I'm that.
You're good at that.
Yeah.
I love that.
But I just want to get into it. And I know that we like had a chat over the phone. And it was so inspiring just hearing your real and raw story and just to get things started and opening up your personal journey with the audience. What was your relationship like with your body growing up? Like, was there a moment in time where you felt like all you heard was like that inner critic?
Yeah, I feel like, oh my gosh. I don't think that there was like a day that went by for years that it wasn't like something that was always in the forefront of my mind. I felt like it was like, you know, that feeling of walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
I was always on walking eggshells. I would never want to get anyone upset because I know that like they already have this negative connotation about who I am and the space that I take up, that like I was just like, I don't want to get anybody angry. I don't want to ask for too much in life. Like, I don't want to bother. And kind of existing like that and like muting myself and so I could take up less space just like consumed me. And it led me to developing like an eating disorder at a really young age. And I didn't find out till almost 10 years later. I had been put on diets probably starting around like 8 to 10 years old. Yeah. Because I started like gaining weight at the end of elementary school. But it turns out that around 13 is when I found out I actually had an autoimmune disorder that caused my weight gain. But it was still like one of those things where it felt like it's still my fault. Like it was what I was eating and what I, how active I was or wasn't. And I don't blame my parents for that. But obviously, like they wanted the best for me and they don't want me to exist you know, in that body, if knowing like how kids are just so cruel and how cruel I am to myself and all those things. But it wasn't until I got to college, because I was going to a psychiatrist for like depression. It wasn't even for an eating disorder. And we kind of like unpacked those things. And because I was questioning, like, if I'm all better medication wise and my hormones are all back on track, like, why is it still like such a struggle for me? And she was like, we unpacked all those things, and she was like, yeah, you have binge eating disorder. And in my mind, I was like, fat people don't have eating disorders. Like, that is an exclusive thing to, like, people that are thinner. Because that's what I always
like
thought
the stigma or the stereotype around it.
Yeah, so I was just like, it's not an eating disorder to, like, want to eat too much. And she was like, yes, it is. And I remember being in my psych classes learning about it, and, like, they would give real life examples, and I would just be like, oh, my God.
That's me.
That is me. That is what I do, you know? And, like, it was just a real, like, just eye-opening moment, but I think it gave me a lot of answers, and now it's helped me get into recovery.
So beautiful. And sitting here with you, like, I've been there, and I think as women, like, even disordered eating or that voice of just not feeling good in your skin, or, you know, something happens in your life where you get rejected and then you turn to your body and you're mean to it, and that's your way of coping. Like, I know so many women who have that same experience, even if it's on like a different spectrum. And for me, like, I similar experience in terms of like when I found out that I had an eating disorder, but it was weird for me when I was looking at like textbooks in psych or even just Googling things, and you start to look down the list of like, here's what a typical person with blah, blah, blah does. And it's like, whoa.
Right.
And it's hard because like from there, like you have to take the steps to like figure out a solution. And it sometimes seems impossible.
Right. Yeah. Especially because it's like how does one kind of fix this already like super like habitual mindset? This, you know, like I never thought it was wrong to like count calories until I was only eating as many calories as a toddler should be eating.
Wow.
And I never thought there was anything wrong with like counting your carbs or your macros. You know, people do that on the regular, but like my doctor informed me of how like it puts me down too bad of like a negative path. And like I would weigh myself before I would eat dinner, and that would be the decipher of whether or not I would eat that night.
Faith.
Like it was like those things that would have that kind of like impact. And it's like, how does one like where do you, how do you go from there? Like, where do you go and like tell yourself like, no, you shouldn't be doing these things, even though societally those are things that are like, you know, like not the worst thing to do, like to count calories and things and restrict yourself.
Yep.
So yeah, it's definitely a journey.
How, like in those moments of you going to the bathroom and like weighing yourself before deciding whether or not you were allowed to have dinner, which me saying that is like devastating. And it's so sad as women how we look to the scale to define our worth.
Right.
And I think the reason why you are so remarkable and why you have a following is because you're authentically and unapologetically yourself, regardless of what the freaking scale says, regardless of what other people are saying. And so for you, like, how did you pivot? Because I'm sure there's so many girls listening where like all of this sounds like we get it and it's hard, but it's like, how did you get yourself out of that?
I think, first of all, I had to look at it from like, why does the world make me feel like that number, the number of calories or the number on a scale or the number of my waist puts value onto me? And I think they'd like to lie to you and say, we care about your health. You know, we just want you to be healthy. But when you really look deep into what that really means, they don't. They do not care about your health. And once I was freed from that, that understanding that these people that make remarks on my body do not care about my health, because if they did, they would care about my mental health.
Yeah.
They would care about like the fact that I do have an eating disorder, and that those words and those like sentiments are what led me and millions of other women to also those same eating disorders. I kind of freed myself from that. I was like, oh, these people don't give, you know, a care about my health. So like, why am I appeasing to them? Why am I allowing them to put that self-worth on me? And then I went to a nutritionist in my school. If you're in college, a lot of them offer them for free. So just a resource, you know, just letting y'all know. Like, I did not know those things. Like, there's so many things that I got for free in school that I'm like, wow, I didn't know, because I was a first-gen student.
Yeah. Yes, which is incredible.
You know, nobody guides you through those things. So I always say, like, just see what's free at your school, because I went to a nutritionist and she kind of told me about, like, restricting only means that you're going to overcompensate later.
Yeah.
Stop taking away and start adding to your plate. Adding just more fruits and more vegetables. being kind to yourself, you know, like just drink more water instead of like being like, I need to drink less soda.
Yeah.
Adding these things. And it kind of shifted my mindset that like this woman that spent her career, like, you know, just dedicated to educating herself about nutrition, her herself has told me, don't stop eating, you know, don't starve yourself. Like she, you could tell that she cared about me. She had the knowledge and education that could tell that what I was doing was not okay. And I think I put her words above anybody that says that they think they know the state of my health just by looking at me. So I feel like those things really, really made me change that aspect of everything. Now I don't really allow a scale to determine, you know, what I eat or when I eat. And I think sometimes I deserve a sweet treat and I don't really count the calories. I'm just like, if I'm going to eat this, let me just try to apple before that, you know, so I can be more full and things like that. So yeah, it was a pivot for sure.
It's for sure like nourishing your vessel. And this is what my mom has always told me growing up, but like, this is the one body and the one vessel that we have in this lifetime. And why restrict that? Like, if you want to live out your dreams, if you want to go start that business, if you want to have an amazing relationship with the love of your life and have children, like, you have to nourish yourself.
Right.
And that is so important. And I think it's more of like that abundance mindset versus like limiting yourself and restricting, which then it's not productive by any means.
Yeah. And it's just going to make you want to like, when shit hits the fan, you're gonna be like, I just need to go like binge, you know? Yeah. Or like just kind of fill that craving. Like it could be, it didn't even have to be with food. Like people do that with like drinking or like smoking, or like they go to their vice. And who's that helping? You know?
I'm curious. I remember on the phone, you told me the story, and I want you to tell all of the girls listening. It was, I think you were, it was like some pageant.
Oh, yes. So like,
this is like judgment. This is insane. Yes.
Well, it's, you're a Scorpio too. Yeah. It's in my Scorpio nature. I'm a very like a vengeful person. Yeah, yeah. And I will sit on my vengeance for years, even if it means I get my lick back. Like I don't care. But although I was kind of struggling with a lot of my body images or my own body image back when I was growing up, I don't like for other people to see me sweat. So I was very much like a fake it till I make it. Like, yes, you calling me fat would make me cry when I go home, but I'm going to put on that face in front of you because I just didn't want people to see me like that. Like, I don't want to feel like, I don't know.
They have the power over you.
Yeah, they have the power over me. Like, even though in my mind, I kind of knew that at that point they did, but like, I feel like I am just didn't want them to see that. But I remember I was my junior high prom queen. So I was already like on my high horse. It was like ninth grade and we were looking at these pictures of these past pageant winners, because in my hometown every school has like a pageant and you're whatever that school is named, Miss blah blah blah, and I remember looking at the pictures of the girls and I was like, wow, like I can see myself doing that one day. And this girl right next to me looked at me and was like, you girl, no you couldn't, like you could never. Yes. And I was like, whoa, that's so unprovoked. But like, you know, kids are so mean when they're young. And I just remember thinking like, all right, bet. Like that was just a thought, a traveling thought. Yeah. And now you just made it my life's mission to make sure that I do that. And even if I don't win, like I know I'm going to try and I'm going to like apply myself. And literally 3 years later, junior year, I did in fact beat, I was in the pageant and I won. And it's funny because it wasn't that same girl that I beat because I actually like switched schools, but I still had her on Facebook, so I know
she's hot. Love that, so she's hot.
I know she's hot. But that winning that pageant, I remember I was the only plus size woman in the whole thing. The girl that I lost against, she was tall, you know, she was slim, she was beautiful, and she rushed off the stage. Like the minute they announced my name,
they were counting me.
Yeah. Like I was like, what? Like that's like not good sportsmanship. And
not at all.
You could hear her literally backstage, like, I lost to a fat girl, like, and like untying her dress, like disgusted, like grabbing her stuff back there. Yeah, it was crazy. And even the days after the fact, like I remember like posting on like Snapchat or something saying like, you can't compare a size 0 to a size 30. And those words hurt. Like, I remember being on the verge of tears in class. But, like, again, I wasn't going to let anybody see me sweat. Oh, and I won. Gosh, like, babe. I'm wearing this huge crown. Yeah. And, like, I got my victory. But, yeah, it was hard.
That's hard. I mean, because even when you do win something like that and to hear other women, like, tearing you down, it almost, like, take – not that it – not that we're giving them the power to take that joy away from you, but it's like, come on, girls, right. Like, let's be better. Let's do better. And right. We have to have each other's backs. And I'm so sorry that happened to you. How do you like pick yourself up?
Well, I think, you know, like you said, with women, I'm always like really taken aback when it's another woman, because I'm like, girl, all we have.
Yeah.
You know, this patriarchy is meant to put us, you know, against each other. So like, come on, like, let's not give that to them and be there for each other.
Yeah.
So honestly, it's turning to other women, even when I am feeling judged by women that make me feel that way. But I feel like leaning on the amazing women that have raised me in my life has always given me like a place of solace. Wow. Like, I came home crying to like my mom, my grandma, my aunt, you know, and they have picked me up in all different ways. And I feel like that is so important. Like, having that community, it's the biggest blessing. Like, I feel like privileged. That's a good way to put it. Like, I feel so privileged to be able to have that, because some women I hear, they tell me like, my mom's jealous of me, my mom is my biggest bully. And I'm just like, I don't, like, I wish I had the right words to tell you, because without the powerhouses behind me, I would have probably crumbled. I would have been that puddle, you know, and I would have been left there, and I don't think I would have been able to pick myself back up.
Yeah. I relate to you. Like, my mom is my everything, and she's like on the podcast, which I'm sure you know.
I love that.
But it's so true. It's like, I think also leaning on women who are older than us, because we don't have all the answers.
Right.
And it's like utilizing and leveraging their wisdom is so important. And even if you don't have like a mom who's close to you, like, there's friends, there's mentors, like, there's literally me, like, DM me and I will call you. Like,
yeah,
we have to have each other's backs. And I think that's why this conversation is so powerful. And Faith, I think to the women out there who maybe are feeling insecure today or having like a fat day, which is so sad that we even call it that, first of all. But to the girls who don't feel comfortable in their own skin, like, what is the message that you want to share with them at home if they're hearing this on like a hard day?
I think just be okay with being ugly and not feeling like what you see in the mirror is like satisfactory. Because still that version of you that you do not find attractive, it still deserves like respect and kindness and love. Like, you would not feed a child because they were ugly. Like, that sounds like so, you know, just criminal, and you're not a villain. So don't be a villain to yourself, and it's okay. Like, bask in it. Be like, that's fine. I don't have to be feeling my best to be like, I'm still going to put on that outfit that I love. Yeah. I'm still going to do my hair. I'm going to put my favorite lipstick on. Like, doing those things, and don't like rob yourself of those things because you don't feel your best. And like, I know I hear this all the time because I used to do it. And like, it's so sad. I used to journal a lot. And like, I would always write how like my weight at the top of the corner and like my goal weight at like the bottom of the corner. And I would always just be like bullying myself in this journal. Like, I read it back and I'm glad that I have these things, but it's like just so sad. Cause I'm like, girl, like, the world is gonna bully you enough. Yeah. Why are you being this to yourself? So don't be that to yourself. Be kind. And even on the days that you don't feel your best, still show up for yourself.
That's so crazy looking back at journals like that, because I have the same experience where I'm like, Sky, like, you're being awful to yourself.
Literally, I would never say that to anybody else. No. So why are you saying that to yourself? You know?
Yeah, damn. So you crazy. Had like your current weight and then the goal weight at the bottom of it.
Yeah. And like, sometimes like, Faith, I would get closer to like the goal, and like, you would just hear like, I remember I wrote this like really sad freaking entry that was like, you know, do it for wearing a bathing suit on the beach. Do it for fitting on a ride on a roller coaster. Do it so that, this one was like wrecked me, like, so that you could feel okay looking in the mirror after a shower. And I'm just like, girl, like, free you. And honestly, you did. You were freed. But like, I read those and I'm just like, just to be like jailed in the mind, in your own mind, is just like such a sad thing. And like, I don't want women to live like that. Like, life goes by fast and it will rob you of so many things if you allow yourself to stay in that jail.
I agree with you. And I literally have a flashback right now. It was college, my junior year, and I was in like in the sorority house in my room. And this was like in the midst of my eating disorder. I was like anorexic for a little bit. And I was so unhappy and just in exactly what you just said, like in a gel in my mind. And I remember my mom calling me and she's like, Sky, because I was like looking in the mirror and she's like, Sky, like she was sobbing. She's like, what are you doing to yourself? You, if you continue to like be this mean to your body, you won't be able to have children. And like in that moment, kind of the fear of that because of how much I do want to have kids. Mm-hmm. It was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, but I think through that, I opened one of the gates to freedom, mm-hmm. which was like, sometimes you just have to be so real about how you are treating your body
right.
and your mental health, because at the end of the day, this life is so precious. We have no idea when it could be taken away from us. And right. women like you remind us that regardless, we can freaking do it and move forward.
No, absolutely. I love that your mom did that. You know, sometimes you need those like reality checks. You're yeah. like, let me lock in real quick. Like, what am I really doing? You know, bring you back to reality. I love that.
And curious, this is kind of going back to the judgment, but I think this is super interesting because of how many followers you have and really being open on social. What has your experience been like with hate comments from men and women?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get them all the time. Like, it's like, I never go posting something and not expecting hate comment at this point because that's just how common they are. But I low-key find it as like a form of flattery a bit.
Yep, yep.
Like, I'm just like, wow. Anytime I see something that I don't like, maybe I'll like a hate comment on it. Like, if like, you know, because I am on the right side of history.
Yeah. Thank you. Know? Yeah.
But like, I would never take my time out of my day and like comment something it's like crazy. Hateful. I scroll and I or I click not interested, or I like, I find solace in my algorithm knowing who I am. But I feel like there's a specific amount of people that literally engage rage bait because they like to be rage baited because that is the only emotion they can conjure up. They don't conjure up love in their life. They don't conjure up happiness. So it's like all they're ever being fed is like hate because that's the only thing that makes them feel something. Like for me, going out in the rain makes me feel something. And that is exciting for me. Or like hanging out with people that I love and laughing till like my stomach hurts. Like that's what makes me feel something. So it's like you trying to feel something by like sending me hate. First of all, you're pushing my engagement. So thank you.
Yep,
like
actually
blowing my video up to pushing it to people that will see it and feel like, wow, this is a person I want to follow. And that has happened time and time again. Like the videos that I get the most hate comments on, 30,000 followers. Yes. $30,000. Yeah.
That's like, crazy. In a
video. Yeah. I've even got, I think, like $100,000 for a video once. Yes. So I'm just like, thank you.
Keep
like,
it coming.
You just keep the hate, you know, like, because your hate is only just going to propel me into success and a life of more love and more happiness. And I'm always like, the haters bought my house.
No, exactly. And I've noticed from this conversation thus far, your ability to pivot, which is the essence of regardless, is freaking amazing. Like I keep on hearing this theme and it's like, regardless of the hate comments, like how can I use this as fuel to take the charge, to take the leap of faith, to continue moving forward.
Right.
And sometimes that is the best thing that we can do for ourselves is like, all right, you fired me. Like, what am I going to do with this now?
Right.
Just wait.
No, yeah, and I love that. Right? I know that we had that conversation. Yeah. And I was like, wow, you just kind of brought like a new meaning to the word regardless, because I feel like I say it, but like unironically in the way that it's like, wow, regardless of what it looks like, I'm going to make shit shake. Like, that's it, you know, regardless.
I freaking love that.
Thank you.
Okay, also, I want to celebrate you because it's your birthday.
Thank
27
you.
27 Club.
Yes, we're 27. I love that.
And I love that we're both Scorpios because I feel like we totally get each other.
We're super intense.
Yeah.
We're really intense. We're very passionate. Like, we don't take things lightly. Like,
nope.
I wish we could, but no. Everything I mean, I say. You know, everything I say, I mean.
So, question. As you're stepping into your 27th birthday, like reflecting on your 27 years almost, what has been the greatest lesson? Like, let's say you had a kid tomorrow and like you had to tell her the top thing that you've learned turning 27. Like, what would that be?
What would that be? I don't know. I feel like I have so many amazing lessons. I think that there is this quote that I live by, and it was like the quote for like my pageant, and it was a quote that was on my like graduation cap and everything. And it's always have the courage to trust love one more time, and always one more time by Maya Angelou. I feel like that could just mean for like love, like romantically, but I also feel like I look at it as like love and hope and like humanity and people. And like no matter what friend, what job, what situation hurts me in this life, I'm always going to trust that there's still love out there and there's still going to be a situation that's like going to be for me. I don't allow those things to, you know, people that are like, I got trust issues at like 22, you know, and like,
but they're identifying with that. Yeah. Like they're a victim to that.
They are. And I'm just like, you're allowing that situation, person, place, thing, whatever, to have too much power over you. I want to choose or I want to decide that there is going to be love and that there, you may have treated me like shit. The next person might have too, but like the next one might not, because I'm always going to trust that love is there, you know?
I love that. And I love how you expanded the definition of love, because I think when we see quotes that resonate like that, like it's applicable to anything. I mean, love in yourself, love in others, love in your career, love in how you navigate the world, love in what you're eating for dinner tonight. Like, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
But like, literally, just say it.
Yeah.
But it's so true. And I think like this goes out to my brother right now, and he would be mad at me at saying this, but just like I'm seeing a lot of myself through him right now, where he said goodbye to like a relationship that I know meant a lot to him. And I reminded him of this because my mom told me this when I was heartbroken. It's like, babe, this is happening and it's hard, but regardless, like, you now know that you can love this deeply, and that is a gift.
Right. It's a human experience. Like, I know it sounds wicked, but like, being heartbroken is such a privilege. Because that means your heart is functioning. Your heart has expanded its love to somebody else. And like, maybe it's the Scorpio in me that's like addicted to just every human emotion. But I'm just like,
no, babe,
thank God
it.
For the heartbreak. Thank God for the sadness and the tears. And like, I want to be able to feel that because that means I'm being true to myself and I'm letting myself open up to find that love. So it's like, it's super real. And I look for love in everything, truly. And being 27, I'm just like, I feel like a part of me feels like I should be scared.
No.
But I know I'm not. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like society keeps convincing us like, oh, that we're like geriatric. But I'm like, I am just like young. I'm like, feel like I look the best and I feel the best that I've ever felt in my life. And I think that I'm just so lucky. And I love you're being 27. You know, we're walking into like our late 20s. But like, I feel like the party is just getting started.
Baby,
you know?
We're just getting started. And it's so cool to celebrate this like with you.
Same.
And I don't know, like there's no place I'd rather be than here with you and your confidence. Like I'm already feeling it on my skin right now because I woke up this morning, not gonna lie, just, I don't know, not feeling my most confident. And you've been like my personal hype woman, and I cannot wait for all of you to hear this combo.
Thank you.
Last question for you, Boo.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a fill in the blank.
Yes.
So regardless of blank, I am blank.
Regardless of my size, I am still that girl.
Oh my God. Fuck yes.
Still that girl. Like, that is something I've always sat on. Like, you're that girl.
You are that girl.
You are too.
And you are too. I love
that. Thanks for listening to Regardless. Catch new episodes every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Just a reminder that this podcast is purely an entertainment and educational platform. This does not substitute for any therapeutic or medical advice. You've got this, babe.